Coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
They were so locked down in survival mode that they either, as Rebecca said, stopped eating altogether, did nothing but smoke cigarettes and drink wine. I remember one patient telling me that specifically, or eating junk food, or just forgetting to eat.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two divorce attorney girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve family law matters peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert Scott Picard at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free. Welcome to today's podcast. Today's topic is your revenge body, how to maintain a healthy diet and look hot in the process. Our special guest today is Dr. Carolyn Cederquist. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. So Dr. Carolyn Cederquist, we're so excited to have her with us today. She has taken a road that not many physicians have traveled. Back in 1991, she started her career in a regular family practice after completing her undergraduate and combined medical degree in just 6 years at the University of Miami. So we know we are dealing with an overachiever here.
I just have to say, go Canes.
Yeah, I won't say go blue, but then she started a regular family practice, like you might think of. But as she found, as often happens with conventional medicine, she found herself prescribing for her patients round after round of medication, but knowing that if her patients could just lose around 20 or 30 pounds, they really wouldn't even need that medication at all. So with that desire to stop treating her patients in a way that didn't address the root of their problems, she came to a personal conclusion that conventional medicine did not provide all of the tools that she needed to help her patients to get to their optimum health. So she started a practice that focused on wellness in addition to conventional medicine. She's one of only about 250 doctors nationwide who has achieved board certification in bariatrics. And Carolyn, you just got another certification. What was that?
The board certification in functional medicine.
So she's doubly board certified, and she's also appeared as a weight management expert on a variety of different outlets. She's been on Dr. Phil, Ricky Lake, Ananda Lewis, The Today Show. She does local radio. There's a show, The Skinny on Your Health. And then there's hundreds of publications that are too numerous to mention, but if you Google her, you'll find them. And she's also the author of two books, The MD Factor Diet and Helping Your Overweight Child. So Rebecca's holding up the book now. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Cederquist.
It's my pleasure.
Well, I'm so personally glad to have you here, because you are my best friend, and but I'm also really glad to have you here because I know what a help you are going to be to our listeners during divorce. It's just as you and I have talked about many times. In fact, you and I actually even trademarked the term the divorce diet a long time ago. And we have yet to do anything with it yet, but we still may. But, you know, so we've talked about this many times, and that is that during divorce, people don't take care of themselves. They either eat all the worst things or they eat nothing at all, and neither of which is good. So we're going to talk a lot more about that, but I wanted to first start with your own journey and how you ended up into this world of health and weight management and diet and wellness. Just tell our listeners a little bit about you.
Sure. Well, thank you so much. So I knew from an early age I wanted to be a doctor, and I wanted to be a doctor who took care of everything, which is why I went into family practice. I did always have an interest in weight because almost everyone in my family really struggles with overweight issues. But as a family doctor, it became very, very clear that the vast majority of the things I was treating, high blood pressure, diabetes, pre-diabetes, high cholesterol, heart disease, and even several types of cancers, arthritis, sleep apnea, the list goes on and on and on, were all things that were either caused by or really aggravated by someone carrying excess weight. And when I was writing all of these prescriptions, you know, a lot of times people don't need one medicine for high blood pressure, they need three medicines for high blood pressure. I would say to my patients, you know, you could probably take less medication if you lost 30 pounds. And no one ever said, I like being 30 pounds overweight. I want to keep this extra weight. No one ever said that. What they said is, I've tried to lose weight. I can't lose weight. I've given up losing weight. I need help. Can you help me? And it was like, yeah, I think that I can. But I can't do it within the setting of a traditional family medicine practice where you see three or five patients an hour. There's not a lot of time. We have to get to how you're living your life. What are you eating? Are you exercising? Are you sleeping? Where does your self-care come? And I knew that I needed to create something different. So I did create my practice in 1998. We're going on 21 years now, almost 22. And really the focus right from the get-go is we were going to help people lose weight comprehensively. I've always had 2 to 3 full-time dietitians who've worked with me. I have a therapist who's worked with me for more than 17 years who specializes in the emotional eating issues, the body image issues that come from it. And we really look at metabolism in addition to what people are actually eating. You have to look at the whole thing in order to really help people lose weight and be healthy.
I think that's so interesting. I love that you said self-care, because that's really where so many of our listeners are at that moment in time where they are probably as stressed out as they possibly can be. We've talked before about divorce being so high up on the list of life stressors that it's ahead of being incarcerated. It's actually better to be incarcerated for your stress levels than it is to be getting a divorce. And it's that time where self-care goes out the door. It goes out the window. They, you know, people are so lost in the morass of what's going on that they stop taking care of themselves. Now, you mentioned in your current practice, you have sort of an overall holistic approach to it. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that means for a patient that would come to you?
Yes. Well, it's going to mean something different for each person. But we really have to get the whole history. So I may actually see somebody who's going through a life transition like divorce, or I may get the history that they went through a life transition 5 years ago. And often that's the case that, you know, during the time they were so locked down in survival mode. And I want to talk about how we can get out of that a little bit later. But, you know, that they either, as Rebecca said, stopped eating altogether, did nothing but smoke cigarettes and drink wine. I remember one patient telling me that specifically, or eating junk food, or just forgetting to eat. And you know, our bodies will allow us to do that for a couple of days, but not weeks, not months, and certainly not years. And sometimes this whole divorce thing can go on and on and on. But what I will end up seeing from my patients who come in many a couple of years after is that they've actually had metabolism change. That we can actually see that they have evidence of an abnormal blood sugar or a high insulin level or other parameters showing that in this highly stressful time, the lack of attention to self-care, the poor diet, and the weight gain itself has made their metabolism change to one that becomes easier to gain more weight. and harder to lose weight. Like, we can all get that. I know I'm not doing what I need to do. I'll be able to handle it later. And sometimes the answer is it's very difficult later. And that's what we see in our medical workups that involve blood work and, you know, comprehensive evaluation of history.
Yeah. You know, I've seen so many clients who have done one or the other where they've just put their health sort of on that table on the side thinking I'll get to that later. But you're right. When you say divorce can drag on, I mean, Rebecca and I both know an average litigated divorce can be years in the making. And if you put your health on the table on the side and think you're going to get back to that down the road, that is, you know, that is leaving you potentially with some real medical problems. Stress can really affect people way beyond, we're talking about weight, but stress, you know, can really affect people's health in so many different ways. Do you find that when you're dealing with your patients?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's so much that's been written now about sleep and how that really disrupts metabolism, but it's not just metabolism. Again, we talk about weight, but if you remember, I got into weight because of health. You know, the high blood pressure, the high cholesterol, the cancer, you know, all of this survival mode, you know, isn't good for us. It's good short term. It allows us to run and flee and all of that, but we don't get to run and flee from our lives. So there really becomes that point, which, you know, your message that you're really getting out to your listeners today is, okay, we get it. We understand the survival mode. 100% understand it's reasonable. However, you need to take some breaths. You need to go ahead and maybe take a day and say, all right, I have to put myself on the list. Not at the bottom of the list, on the list. Get on there. That what you do for movement, what you do for food, what you do for nutrition actually matters, so you can come out of it and make the best decisions. Because also your brain doesn't work well when you're starving it or giving it a lot of very poor nutrition. So it has to become, do this. In my practice, you know, when we're working with patients, there's a lot of accountability. And sometimes people will come and say, I have no time for this, but I'm going to come in, and they come in anyway. And at least there's somebody holding them to account. That's the real benefit of being able to work someplace like with us. But there's other things that you can do to make you accountable to healthy lifestyle changes.
So what kinds of health challenges do you see people going through when they're experiencing trauma? We talked a little bit about the impact on metabolism, but if you could expound a little more on all of the different health impact that there is on people who are experiencing trauma.
Yeah, well, what we find is, you know, if we actually measure it, which we can find that people's cortisol levels are up. Cortisol is a flight or fight hormone that, you know, basically makes your blood pressure go up. It makes your heart rate go faster. It makes you breathe more. And, you know, when you think about somebody who's really panicked, that's what's happening. They're breathing fast. Their heart is fluttering. They're really having the effects of excess epinephrine, norepinephrine, and cortisol. You know, the body was designed to, again, have this for short periods of time. But when it's present for longer, high cortisol levels cause the deposition of fat, but it also affects blood sugar. So we know that we can actually have somebody develop pre-diabetes or diabetes if we medically give them cortisol, you know, if we have to treat some sort of inflammatory condition with cortisone. But our body is doing the same thing when we have chronically elevated cortisol levels. We also know that the immune system doesn't work as well when it's stressed. You know, the body is in careful balance. Everything that gets upregulated by stress is also supposed to become downregulated. If it's not downregulated, then we end up having the impact on our immune system in probably the least severe cases that we're getting sick more colds, more flus. But there certainly are cases where people will say, yes, you know, I developed a more serious medical condition, an autoimmune condition after a period of significant stress.
Yeah, I know in my own personal life, I've experienced that, you know, with having a very stressful divorce practice. I remember having conversations, not just with you, but also with my other doctor about, you know, my cortisol levels being higher. And so I know that this is true. I mean, not just even if in divorce, but any kind of stress in your life, it can definitely affect that. The other area that I've seen personally it affect, and I want you to talk more about because I know you know a lot about this, is you know, the vitamin levels and the mineral levels and that sort of thing. Those also get impacted, and that's something in your practice that you test, and I think that makes you very, very unique. I want you to talk about that so that people who are out there who maybe don't have access to you necessarily can go back to their doctors and say, I want you to test for this or that.
Absolutely. That's a very good good thought. What we know is that we see an awful lot in my practice of low magnesium levels. Magnesium is a very common mineral. Lots of people have heard of calcium. Fewer have heard of magnesium, but they're actually in balance with each other. So when you have a lot of calcium, you don't absorb magnesium as well. But there is a lowered amount of magnesium in our food supply because there's not as much in the soil as there used to be. But very importantly with stress, when you are under stress, your body actually sheds magnesium in the digestive tract and in the urinary tract. It's dealing with the stress hormones that causes that to happen. Now, some of the symptoms of low magnesium are migraine headaches. A lot of people who have issues with constipation, muscle cramps, muscle tightness, you know, and of course people would say, you know, this is just like the stress itself. The stress is causing it. The stress is actually leading to a vitamin or mineral deficiency, which we want to take care of the stress first, you know, for sure. We want to deal with it all. But in the interim, if we can replete the body by giving back some of the necessary minerals, it definitely helps.
I think it affects the metabolism as well, does it not?
Yes, we do know that magnesium is involved in 300 different metabolic conditions in the body. So when the deficiencies are present, your body just doesn't work as well.
Coming up, more from Rebecca, Susan, and Dr. Carolyn Cedarquist on The Revenge Body, How to Maintain a Healthy Divorce Diet and Look Hot.
Pull of a donut when I am stressed or depressed or feeling some sort of emotional upset is unbelievable. And I think a lot of our listeners are in that place. You know, you hear about the people sitting on the couch with the tub of ice cream, and that's how you get over a breakup. Hi there. This is Susan from Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast. Rebecca and I are so excited to announce that we have partnered with our friend and colleague, Gabrielle Hartley, who's the author of the best-selling book, Better Apart, The Radically Positive Way to Separate, that you met on the show. And we have combined to create a series of very special divorce retreats and summits. So if you're a woman going through divorce, separation, or still healing from the process, these retreats are designed for you. We're going to combine expert advice with practical tips and inspirational guests, and you're going to find hope and guidance to help you through the transition. Our first retreat is going to be on Saturday, April 27th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Marina Del Rey, California.
Featured at this retreat will be special guest experts who you've met on the show, Ariel Lori, creator of the lifestyle brand The Blonde Files, celebrity trainer Jen Giamo, creator with Worthy.com of the Fresh Start Fitness Program, and Tammy Leader Fuller, creator of Camp Powerment. We also want to thank our sponsors for these events, FAIR, the premier co-parenting app. You met Michael Daniels, the creator of the app, on the show. And we're so excited that they are partnering with us for these retreats. There will be additional 2019 Buy Divorce retreats. More information coming soon. In Chicago, summer of 2019, New York, New York in the fall of 2019, and Naples, Florida in the winter of 2019. You can sign up for the April 27th Los Angeles event at breakingfreemediation.com/B-Y-E-divorce
Pro-Retreats.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including tipping the scales, how to gain leverage in your divorce negotiation.
Very sane, normal people can do some crazy stuff in divorce. And that's why in negotiating, that's another thing to remember. If you're thinking, oh, I don't want to fight, I don't want to, you know, be strategic in my negotiations, you do, because you do want to move the negotiation forward to get it to a point where what is on the table is something that you can live with, because that's when you can finalize it and that's when you can move on.
And now we return to today's show.
You know, I think that that's so interesting, because that's one of the ways that stress is affecting your body, so that, you know, you were saying you shed more of the magnesium and you need to have more that you can, that you take in, maybe through supplements. But what about the food that people turn to when they're stressed? Because you referenced earlier that you had a patient who told you, I think you said the cigarette and
wine.
Even worse than coffee, maybe. You know, and you find that. I know myself, when I am personally stressed, it's either heavy-duty carbs like macaroni and cheese or a donut, or sugar. I am a sugar freak. I know Rebecca is a salty freak, but I'm the sugar freak in the group. And that's, I mean, the pull of a donut when I am stressed or depressed or feeling some sort of emotional upset is unbelievable. And I think a lot of our listeners are in that place. You know, you hear about people sitting on the couch with the tub of ice cream, and that's how you get over a breakup. But the food that we take in has a huge impact on how we're feeling, how we manage our stress and all of that. Do you have any, I know in your MD Factor diet, and Rebecca referenced, you guys have the divorce diet concept, but are there foods that you can, that you recommend that people eat, or that types of foods that they focus on?
Yeah, for sure. And you're absolutely right. The classic comfort foods tend to be higher carbohydrate food, whether they be crunchy and salty. A lot of people really need that chew, or stuff that's creamy and soothing, the ice cream, the sweets and things like that. The problem with the carbohydrates, again, we get it. We've all been there. We understand. There's no judgment. But when you eat such things, the body, your blood sugar goes up, your insulin goes up, and then it comes crashing down. And then you have these intense cravings again. And you get into a cycle of the more you eat, the more you need to eat of those foods, which again, are, you really put weight on, but they really stress the body. Such a high sugar load actually rises cortisol levels and things like that as well. So we really need to break the cycle of all of that. You know, so with regards to bringing stress under control and losing weight, you know, if there is weight gained in the process, but even if we're not dealing with weight, just getting the stress under control, we need to get balance back. The key is the regular intake of lean protein. When you have protein with a little bit of healthy fat, you don't get a blood sugar swing and an insulin swing as you do when you have a simple carbohydrate meal. So that's very important to keep your blood sugar stable and to avoid the rapid decline in glucose that occurs when that drops, that really just keeps that cycle going, where people find that, oh my gosh, they're eating so much and they're really, really gaining. So we want to have lean protein at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. What does that mean? Something like a frittata, eggs with turkey sausage, Greek yogurt, you know, for breakfast. Lunch would be something, a salad with chicken, a salad with salmon. We're talking 4 ounces. We're not talking 16 ounces. It's not an extreme protein diet. But then the dinner, we want to have a protein with it. You know, we want to have veggies. We want to have fiber, but we want to get that protein in there primarily to keep the blood sugar stable. And we want to really keep those comfort foods minimalized. Doesn't mean you can't have any of that, but just realizing that it takes the control away. And I think it's really, really important when you're dealing with stress in a transition. For some people, they're blindsided by the divorce, right? You know, for some people, maybe they've seen it coming. And for others, it was like they had no idea. you know, same thing happens when people have illness, you know, serious illness in the family. We deal with that all the time in our practice. And this is what we say. I'm really sorry this is happening. You don't really have control over that. You don't have control over a spouse's illness or the fact that a spouse has decided that they're divorcing you or they're in love with someone else or whatever it is. What do you have control of? And getting control back of things that you can get control of really is very empowering. We are the only ones who decide what we put in our mouth every single day. Now I get it, when there's tempting stuff, we're tempted, but we decide. We decide if we're going to move, if we're going to take a walk, if we're going to end up eating something that gets our stress hormones out of control or ones that help bring it back in. You know, that's really the key. What do you have control of? And the more control you get over something as simple but as profound as your eating choices, the more control you end up having of almost everything.
I recently saw a funny meme on social media that said something like, every time I try to go on a diet, it then comes Thanksgiving, Christmas, weekends, or Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, it's true, but I think that's actually incredibly profound for our listeners to understand, because that is something that we hear as divorce professionals all the time, that the process of divorce is so out of their control. Their lives feel out of their control. And you are 100% correct. This is the one area where right this second, they can take control of their life. I can put down the donuts. They can put down the cigarettes and wine. They can go for a walk around the block. They, you know, there's so much.
I think part of the time, though, people think, well, I deserve to eat this because, you know, everything else just is awful and sucks anyway. So I at least get to eat ice cream, or I at least get to have this wine or whatever it is. But what people don't realize is that they are, what Carolyn referenced, you referenced in the beginning of the show, is that it actually really impacts your metabolism and your health long term. And one of the things I want you to talk about, because I've heard you talk about this many times, and I really find it fascinating, I think about it all the time, is what happens with insulin resistance. If you could just kind of on a really easy grade school level talk about what's going on with your cells when you actually are experiencing insulin resistance, because during this time of stress, this is what is starting to happen in your body, and it will take over long term.
Yes. So what insulin resistance means is that your cells are resistant to the action of insulin. Insulin is a hormone, the hormone that actually moves sugar into our cells. Without insulin, we die, which is why type 1 diabetics need to have injections of insulin. Now, a more common thing that develops is not lack of insulin, but insulin resistance. When we're in a period of overnutrition, like Susan said, like the donuts and the ice cream and everything, to be honest, it's toxic to our bodies. Our cells actually mount a defense to it, and the cells change and say, we're not allowing this sugar in. Our cells are now going to be resistant to the action of insulin. You can make insulin. It's just not going to work. Now, again, a good short-term solution. But what ends up happening is the cells then become starved of energy, really deprived of energy. So people really feel all the cravings. They're actually not getting nutrients into their cells. And the higher levels of insulin that circulate actually go and increase blood pressure, cause fat to be deposited in the abdomen, elevate blood sugar further. It really creates this vicious cycle, which long-term leads to prediabetes, heart disease, stroke, certain types of cancer, including breast cancer and diabetes. So it is something that, again, it's a protective mechanism that if we are eating the wrong way, we can directly make this worse. And of course, if you have an underlying family history, it can happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it's kind of hard on a show like this where people are just listening. But you've talked about in the past how basically there's the insulin helps to open like these receptors. There's like they're almost like gates to your cells that allows the nutrition in the blood sugars that we need. That nutrition goes inside the cells. And when you have insulin resistance, those gates, that allow that nutrition inside the cells are actually damaged in some way, right?
And correct. They actually stop working.
Right. And so when you're eating your food, then even if you're eating good things, a lot of times once those receptors are damaged, the cell thinks it's starving.
Correct.
And all of that stuff is out in the blood sugar and it's in the stream, but then the cravings are happening because the cells think they're starving. But a lot of it is because of these damaged receptors, and that is a long-term problem to try to correct and course correct. Isn't that correct?
Yes. The good news is it is correctable. You know, it can be corrected with some serious change to the meal plan, which is what the MD factor diet is. It stands for metabolism dysfunction. But that insulin resistance that develops due to family history, nutrient deficiency, like the low magnesium, and then the poor diet, the stress eating, the high cortisol levels, all of those things cause it to happen, but it can be reversed. You know, so if it's present, we can work on it. But better yet, let's not let it happen in the first place. Knowing that, you know, what you were saying before about people will say, at least I could have this ice cream, I deserve it. And it's like, you know what? We need to respect that. We need to say, yes, yeah, something bad has really happened. And you need to mourn what was and maybe take a couple of days and then realize that eating that stuff really doesn't necessarily make it better. You know, it doesn't. Very, very short term. It's time to go ahead and say, I deserve to take care of myself. And if I need help to do that, if I need somebody to help prepare food for me because I don't have the time, you know, then by all means do that. But it's time to reclaim your control.
You know, the one thing I want to make sure that we cover, we're running close to the end of our time, but we've been talking about people who deal with their stress by indulging or eating and perhaps not making the right choices with that food, but they're eating. I also see clients quite often who go the complete opposite route and they can't eat. They're either, it's emotionally distressed and they don't want to eat. And what happens, I've seen, is they start to lose weight and people respond positively to that for them. Oh, you look great. You've lost some weight. And they call that the revenge diet or the divorce, you know, body or something like that. But in many ways, aren't they actually depleting their bodies as well? They're not getting nutrition. You know, do you find that situation as well?
Correct. It's a very, very good point. So thank you so much for bringing that up because that does happen. So many people who are under stress don't eat at all. And they end up, you know, over the day, maybe taking in very, very few calories and they start to lose weight. But one of the things that's really important is we have an absolute nutritional need for certain nutrients in our body, one of which is protein. The only place it exists is in our own muscle tissue. And if we're not eating adequate protein, our body breaks down our muscle tissue. So you lose muscle, and as your muscle tissue gets lower, your metabolic rate gets lower. So yes, you're losing weight, but you're losing muscle. It's not a healthy weight loss. It's an illness weight loss. What happens when you have an illness weight loss is you regain very quickly after that because you're dealing with an altered, lowered metabolic rate. And you are right. The people say, oh, wow, you look great and everything, and it can be encouraging. Okay, great. I only ate one meal a day, or I'm hardly eating anything. I look better. You're doing it the wrong way. You're losing your own muscle tissue and you will pay for that, unfortunately.
I know one time years ago, when you and I first started to be friends, and I said, oh, if I ever start to gain weight, I'll just stop eating. And you said, no, you will not.
That's right. Doesn't help. It actually makes things worse.
Yeah.
Well, and you run yourself down when your body's not getting the proper nutrients and you're stressed already. Now your body doesn't have an ability to, you know, cope with that stress at all. I have seen that probably as much as I have seen clients who go the other way and who are eating, you know, for comfort or whatever reason. So I'm glad we touched on that topic. Because I think people, one of the key components that we've talked about here that for people to take away is that when we're stressed, food is a big issue. And I think because food is so important in our lives, and it's really food in many ways is a medicine or food. You know, we are what we take in. I remember Ariel Laurie, you know, that was sort of one of the bases of how she overcame addiction is one of the things that helped her. She's become very, very involved in nutrition and wellness. You talked about accountability, and it just made me think of something that she said, because she found that she started really taking her wellness seriously when she started posting on Instagram, because then people were watching her progress. So in a different way maybe than what you were talking about, where you have patients who come and are reporting in and you're there to help them and see how they're progressing. So there are a lot of different ways that people can be motivated in these circumstances.
Yeah, but I think, you know, making sure that somebody is you know, holding you accountable, I think is really helpful. I mean, if it's not going into a doctor's office, it's at least maybe having a friend or somebody who, I mean, that's why Weight Watchers has worked so well, right? Because, you know, people are holding other people accountable. So I think, you know, making sure you're having, you know, have you had enough protein today? You know, 30 grams a meal or whatever it is important. And, you know, okay, have the, for me, it would be like salt and vinegar chips. But, you know, have them every once in a while, but not make that like, you know, your meal plan, right?
Absolutely. There are lots of tools that exist for people, because it's not just the, you know, feeling like eating. There's also a lot of work in preparing food. Let's be honest, like in the best case scenario, when people are busy and they have jobs, you have to shop, you have to prepare, and a lot of food goes bad and all of that. One of the things that has helped some of my patients that have been in this situation is to do one of the prepared meal plans.
About Bistro MD. Talk about that. Since we're almost out of time, I want to make sure we get that in.
Yeah, so 15 years ago, I started a meal plan with my husband. It's called Bistro MD, and it's available in all 50 states, available to be shipped. It's food that's prepared fresh and then frozen. But very importantly, it has minimal processing, no chemicals that I have issues with, basically no chemicals at all, minimal sodium, primarily adequate lean protein. One of the problems with meal delivery or even meals out is that they may just be high carb meals, you know, just ones that don't give you the nutrition you need. So in order to have a healthy meal that tastes good, that's convenient. So for your client who is like, I don't really feel like having lunch, go ahead, put it in the microwave, cook it, and then the smells of it, oh, I mean, it actually smells good. I think I could eat it. You know, it's important to have something that tastes good, but also gives your body what you need and is convenient. Sometimes that might really be something that gets people through, you know, in a time like this.
Well, I just want to mention, I just found out just before we started taping this show that Bistro MD is your company. I'm one of your early converts. When I started ordering from way before there were any of these other meal delivery services, I was ordering meals from you all. And so I can say from my own perspective that you have always had delicious food. And one of the things that worked for me that I found so helpful is that they're very, the portion control is there, because that's my other personal issue is that if I like how something tastes, I just continue to eat it. But they're wonderful. They're wonderful meals. So I'm so excited. You have a special offer going right now for people signing up for Bistro MD. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, so Bistro MD meals, usually you're shipped like a week of meals. It could be enough for 5 days or enough for 7 days. There's a lot of flexibility, but it's 25% off plus free shipping. So that really will help. And as you said, they are portion controlled, but also portion controlled with the right things. So you get enough of the lean protein that your body must have, and then a lot of the good vegetables, with keeping the things that you don't need to smaller amounts, the starches and things like that.
Yes. So no excuses.
Yeah. No, we'll put the information both for Dr. Carolyn's books and Bistro MD in the show notes for all our listeners.
Well, Carolyn, thank you so much for being on our show today. I'm so excited that you were finally able to get here with us, because I know that your information is going to be so helpful for so many. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much. And good luck to everyone out there who is really going through a transition. You can make it through. Take care of yourself on the process.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert, Scott Picard, at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you liked in a review on iTunes.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.